I travel around America, and they hear me preach. They say, "Are you the same one on television?" "Yes." I says, "You sure don't act the same." "Well," I says, "I'm preaching now and I'm teaching then." "It's such a difference as that?" And I said, "Well, I guess there is. If you get to teaching, you get carried away with yourself, you wouldn't get anything said. So you have to stick with what you're doing. But when you're preaching, well, sometimes I take a text and preach from it. Sometimes a long distance, too. And that makes all the difference. In your present lesson that we are going to get our whole total being involved in, it's called The Holy Spirit Conceived Christ in Mary's Womb. The variety of activities of the Holy Spirit, they're simply amazing. He didn't just do one thing, he's done hundreds of things. And that's where we need to have a good understanding of the Holy Spirit in all the different types of things that he does. Possibly the greatest controversy of all time, is what we call the virgin-born Son of Mary, in which the Holy Spirit had such a remarkable part as to bringing to this planet Earth the Son of God. In various parts of the world, there are religious leaders who claim to have been virgin-born, but there has never been any more than a legend that has been spoken. They have no truth to support their claims. No human ever will fathom the depths of the operation of the Holy Spirit more than in the conception of a son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This lesson is so tender and really so mysterious in the functions of it and the power of the Holy Spirit and working what he did work in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, until I'm glad to bring you to that point. I think we should always remember what God has done. I don't believe a person would ever backslide if they had a good memory. Remember what God has done for you. You start counting the blessings of God and you're not just about ready to backslide. Amen. You're ready to go to march forward. But if we remember what God has done, for example, to Moses. Moses went out into a desert for 40 years. And after 40 years, he saw a manifestation of God. Sometimes we'd like for God to give us an amazing manifestation every day till it would get as common as cheese. But God won't do that, not with supernatural manifestations. It was the Apostle Paul that said, 14 years ago, I knew a man. He hadn't known one since, but it had been 14 years ago. Some of us like a new revelation every week. You'll miss God if you start putting pressure like that on God. He'll tell you that you don't use what you've already got, and that we should use up the revelation that we already have. And so it's a remarkable thing to me what God has done, and we like to just go back and talk about him and think about him. The woman and the town chosen by the Holy Spirit to perform this great miracle are of great interest. The woman is called Mary. Way back 700 years before, in Isaiah 7 and 14, Isaiah said, "A virgin will conceive." Now, I'm sure no one could understand that. And when I was a small child coming up in this country, the downtown preachers of the big churches that were already modernist said that that meant a young woman and not a virgin. But when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls hidden in front of the Dead Sea in caves, when they discovered those, the only book of the Bible that was complete, and these scrolls had been hidden for 2,200 years, which means 200 years before Jesus was born, the book of Isaiah was the only complete book, and it says there, "A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son." And so the Holy Spirit was speaking you know, 700 years before, saying it shall be done. In Matthew's Gospel 1, 22 and 23, it was fulfilled. The virgin did conceive and bring forth a son. And the other is the name of the town in Nazareth. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, it says that this child would be born, and was born to live in this little town called Nazareth. And also, the Word of God also tells us that he would be born by the Holy Spirit dictating in Bethlehem, that Bethlehem of Judah, he would be born there. And so the Holy Spirit was functioning to bring about this Christ being conceived in Mary's womb before it took place. In order for it to take place, God had to find a man like Joseph. I don't think every man would go along with the idea that he had a girlfriend and she was pregnant. He'd say, well, I don't know about that ghost business now. He couldn't have been holy, you know. And so it wasn't easy to find a man. It took an angel to convince him, too. And then to find a woman. What woman is going to be willing to go into disrepute? Of course, in those days, it wasn't disrepute. It was death. If they caught you committing adultery, they just took you and stoned you and made it real simple. And so it was an execution that took place. And so there's so many things had to come together for the Holy Spirit to conceive Christ in Mary's womb. What has also been so exciting to me, that politics had to agree with all of this. That away in Rome, the old king couldn't sleep one night, and he said, you know, I've just decided to collect taxes in Judea. And then the old rascal said, just to be sure I get everybody, I'll make everybody go back to their hometown to register and pay taxes there, just to be sure I get everybody. And so he had to, that's the only way they could ever got Mary and Joseph back to Bethlehem. They couldn't have gotten there any other way, you see. Now, especially her, you know, going to have a child. And so God had to get politics in it. Some people trying to get God out of politics, but if you're not careful, he'd be in heavier than you ever thought he was. Amen. God could intervene anywhere he likes, and he doesn't need your opinion about it. He can go ahead and do it. And so here we find that there were some people ready. Look at Simeon in Luke 2 and 25 to 32. You'll have to write this in yourself. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that the Christ had been born. And he was an old man that had a hold of God. And so the Holy Spirit was not functioning just in Bethlehem. It was functioning even in the temple area through those that knew God in a very beautiful way. And in that same temple place was Anna. And that's in Luke 2 and 36. That she was a woman that spent her time all the time in the temple. She didn't go home. She stayed there in fastings and in prayer. You know, sometimes it's insignificant people that bring about great things on the face of the earth. It's insignificant people can startle you with what they bring to pass on the face of the earth. But she was told by the Holy Spirit that if she walked out of her closet, out into the open place of the temple area, she would see him. And she walked right out. The chances of her doing that by accident wouldn't be 1 in 40 million. Here she was in a back room praying. The Holy Ghost said, get up and get out of this room quick and run out there in the portico, because coming under the door right now is the Messiah. Hurry. And here came the old gal in her 80s, you know, out there. What you running for? Going to go see the Messiah. They said, uh-oh, lost her marbles. But she hadn't lost anything. She walked out there, and there he was for her to love and to kiss before she went on to heaven. And so this is a kind of an introduction of how God had to get people ready for this remarkable function that took place when the Holy Spirit conceived Christ in Mary's womb. In Matthew 1 and 20, it says, while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, now, Joseph, you are the son of David. Fear not to take unto you Mary thy wife, for this which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now that makes it, I presume, the most remarkable incident in history. I don't know of anything personally, that could be so amazing as that was. That which is conceived inside of her womb is of the Holy Spirit. Now, of all the functions of the Holy Spirit that we've been studying about and that we're going to study about, this one is unique, as you would certainly know. So Jesus' birth was a biological miracle. Mary was impregnated by the power of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. In Matthew 1 and 18, just two verses above what we just read, says the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then verse 23 says, behold, a virgin shall be with a child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted is God with us. And so we have a biological miracle of deity causing the natural function of human beings to cease and for a supernatural one to begin. Now, God made man and God made woman, so he has a right to remake them, or he has a right to touch them any way he wishes to touch them, or help them any way he wishes to help them. And you say, well, why would God do this? Because the first promise in the Bible was that the seed of the woman would save the human race. And so it could not have been the seed of Joseph, or otherwise he could not have been a world savior. Now, the life of your flesh is in your blood, and it is the man's sperm that brings the blood into the newborn, and that was of the Holy Ghost. So that's the way he was conceived, by the Holy Ghost. And so he was brought into this world. And you say, Brother Sumrall, I wish I could understand that better. Well, I have sent an order up to heaven that they get the moving projectors ready for us, and we get there, we're going to sit down and look at it. You say, God won't do that. Oh, yeah, he will. Every moment of the total history can be reviewed. And some of you won't want your part reviewed, but it'll be reviewed anyway. And this will be reviewed. There's several things. I want to ride with Joan in that whale's belly. Glory. Just for a few moments. Yeah. A whale has at least three bellies. And one of them is a reserve area that he reserves stuff to eat a little later, like a cow chewing the cud. And so they just put him on reserve for 3 days and nights, and that whale was really glad to get rid of him. Anybody would be glad to get rid of a backslidden preacher. The Holy Spirit conceived Christ in Mary's womb. Number one, it was a biological miracle. And two, the news came for them to believe by an angel. Now, I don't believe a prophet could have done this. But, you know, there's some things that men can do and some they can't. I don't believe that Joseph would have accepted this from another man. For example, if John the Baptist came up and said, yeah, I got news for you, you know. John, go on back and preach by the seashore, buddy. You're not going to accept anything like that for a wife. And I don't think they would have accepted from a human instrument. Now, there are times when God has to step over the balances. There are times when God has to do more than he does otherwise. And so this this announcement was really a test of faith. I mean, a tremendous test of faith. And in Luke 1:35, the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, of course, I'm not a woman, but if that had been said to me about 2 weeks later, I'd have come too. I'd have gotten shot clear out of my wits. I couldn't have taken it. And this woman was a person just like any of us. You know, she was no supernatural person. She was a person just like us. And here we find that an angel, it says angel. You might want to put a little circle around that word angel. It was an angel from heaven. And he said there, it says the Holy Ghost. Now that's what we're studying in these lessons, the person of the Holy Spirit. And the angel said the Holy Ghost. Now it could have said heaven will do it, or it could have said an angel's going to do it, but it didn't. It says the Holy Ghost, that he shall come upon you. Whatever that means, I do not know. The power of the highest, that's the Almighty, shall overshadow you. I don't know what that means either. Shall overshadow you. And that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And so we see there the Holy Spirit conceived Christ, his earthly being, not his eternal being, his earthly being that made him identified with us. The Son of Man became the Son of God. The Son of God became the Son of Man that we might become the sons of God. And the way it came into being was when the Holy Spirit conceived Christ in Mary's womb. It happened. And that town that he lived in was one of disrepute. When Jesus went out ministering, Nathanael, who lived in Cana of Galilee, just 5 miles away, said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" He didn't have the spiritual knowledge to know that the Holy Ghost did the greatest miracle in history in Nazareth. You see, that this child was conceived there. And that he said, it must have had a bad reputation. I mean, I've heard of a town that you didn't think anything good could come out of it. Well, one or two. There are bad places on the face of the earth. Now evidently this Nazareth had a bad name. And this good man, Jesus said he was a good man, said he was without sin. And that he said that, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, the greatest thing in the world came out of Nazareth. It is remarkable how the Lord can take a negative and turn it into a positive. It's amazing how the Lord can take a bad thing and make a good thing out of it. It's amazing how he can take Nazareth, where they said no good thing, and make the best thing come out of a no good thing. And that is done by the power of the Holy Ghost. And if you and I will function in the Holy Ghost, your mother-in-law and your brothers-in-law and sisters-in-law and all your in-laws and others too might see nothing good in you at all, and God sees something to conceive in you of the Holy Ghost that'll make you the most remarkable person that they know of. Now the Holy Ghost can do that. He did it here, and he can do it again. If you know it, say amen. Amen. The idea of the Immaculate Birth came to this planet Earth by the power of the Holy Ghost. And we were reading to you a few moments ago from Isaiah 7 and 14, where it says that Jehovah will give you a sign. So he used this function of the Holy Ghost for a sign. That nation Israel was to live by prophecy. That the things that were to come upon them was to be prophesied upon them supernaturally, spoken of by God before it came to pass. And so Isaiah here, he prophesied that the mother of Jesus would be a virgin. And so through the power of the Holy Ghost, he prophesied this. He said, a virgin shall conceive and bear forth a son. You shall call his name Emmanuel. And then we find that the Son of God would come from the house of David. Isaiah was in on this too. In chapter 9 and verse 6, he said, "Unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder." Now he has skipped clear into the millennium. He went clear into the millennium. He didn't slow down. He didn't slow down for the birth and the life and the death of the Lord. He went straight into the millennium with it. He says, "This child shall be born, and a son shall be given. The government shall be upon his shoulder." So he just moved over 2,000 years right there. His name shall be called Wonderful. And he is wonderful. Wonderful in his remarkable birth that was given to him on the face of this earth. Wonderful. He shall be called Counselor. Well, the Holy Spirit is also called a counselor. And Jesus was a counselor. He is called the Mighty God. He belongs to the God family, to the Trinity of Heaven. He is the Everlasting Father, the Father of all things. The Word of God says there was nothing created except he created it. If you create it, then it belongs to you. And he is the Prince of Peace. And it says of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And so the very idea of being conceived in Mary's womb came as a result of God speaking by prophecy, saying, this thing has to come to pass. It will come to pass. It must come to pass. And Galatians 4:4, it says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. In the fullness of time. Now, the devil got confused because in the Garden of Eden, God looked at him and said, now, the seed of this woman will bruise your head. And said, you shall bruise his heel. So he never forgot it. And as soon as they got outside and Cain and Abel were born, he said, now, which one of these is the Redeemer? He thought it would be an instant thing. He says, which one of these is the Redeemer? He says, I know what I'll do. I'll cause one of them to kill the other one, and a murderer could never be a Redeemer. So he figured it out real quick. And he thought he had won, but he hadn't won anything. And then if you study the Bible, and we have a small book on it that you might like to read, you'll find that in every generation there was a battle with the devil trying to stop the seed from coming. And finally, he just missed it, that's all. He just missed it. It happened before he knew anything what was taking place. Angels were working around there, and he was confused. He didn't know what to do. But the word says, in the fullness of time. You know, God doesn't work by abortions. God works in the fullness of time. And when the world was ready for it, and when the human race was ready for it, when the time was ready, when the Romans had built the roads, and the armies had secured the highways, and the boats had been built to carry the servants of the Lord, in the fullness of time, when the world was ready for it, then God sent his son. Right on schedule, right on time, just the way that God wanted it. And I believe with all my heart that you and I are on schedule. Just like I believe my name is Lester Summerall, I believe I was born for this hour in which we live. I do. And I believe you are too. If you will function in the Spirit, by the Spirit, these have to be the last days. You see, but other people have said that. They never had the prophecy fulfilled that we have today. And they never had the assurances that we have today. When you read the prophecies today, they have a different meaning than they had 50 years ago. And you see a world so near committing a world suicide, not just for a person, then you can see that Jesus must come soon. And when you see all the world ready for an Antichrist, you see, the world is ready. The world is ready today for an Antichrist. And we are ready for a Christ. And that makes a difference in us. All right. Your next point there on page 37, the Holy Spirit brought assurance of total victory when he came. When the angel told Mary not to be afraid, and I like that. The reason I put this in here, put a little circle around it, not to be afraid. She had every right to be afraid. In Luke 1:30, the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, you have found favor with God. So he took fear out of her. If you're going to function in God, especially in the area of the unknown, you must have trust. This woman must have had it. She must have said, oh God, I don't know what you're going to do, but whatever you do is going to be good because I believe in you and I love you. And so that means we need a knowledge of God in order for the Holy Ghost to do miracles through us. Otherwise, we would become afraid. In Exodus 3:2, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in flame and a fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And immediately Moses was afraid, you see. And God wants us to take fear clear out of this whole situation in order that he can do all the things that he wants to do in all of our lives. Can you say amen? Amen. All right. At the top of page 38, it says, Daniel lifted up his eyes, and behold, he saw a certain man in linen whose loins were girded with a fine gold of Uhas. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. He said, Daniel, amen, greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto you. Stand upright, for unto you am I sent. And when he had spoken this word, I stood trembling. Then he said, fear not. God wants to take fear out of our total beings in order to bless us properly. He took fear out of this woman. For sure he did. All right, your next point number 5, the holy thing born of thee shall be the Son of God. You have here the uniqueness of it. It isn't easy for God to want to do something through you that he has never done for anybody else. That takes faith. For God to perform something in you he's never performed for anybody else. There's no experience of it, no record of it. Then that takes an element of faith. No wonder the angels proclaimed the arrival of a world Savior over the hills of Bethlehem in Luke 2 and 8. The angels proclaimed peace in Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. The shepherds were so afraid. That's our big problem. Because of the supernatural phenomena, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. No wonder the cosmos shook, the heaven shook. A star guided three unusual men from Persia over to Israel in order to see the astounding miracle of conception. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. So we find this work of the Holy Spirit in this woman, number one, you can write these down, is profound. It's profound in its explanation. You can work at it if you will. It is profound in its explanation. It is divine in its operation. We know that. We believe it. It is world-changing in its consummation. It changed the whole world. It produced a Savior for every person that lives upon the face of the whole earth. And it brought hope for all humanity in its realization. And so when you have those four things planted together, it makes you say, hey, wasn't it glorious when the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin on planet Earth in order to save all of mankind? Now, Lord, we want to say thank you for the word. And we've walked softly into this extremely delicate situation of how the Holy Spirit could overshadow a female and she would bear a child, and that child would be the Son of God. And though we don't understand it, we walk in that faith and simplicity straight toward heaven, where we'll understand everything perfectly. And until that time, help us to love one another and to love this world that needs loving and help. And for your blessings upon us, we thank you. And all the people said, amen. Amen.